to speak to you tonight about on the subject, remember your deliverances. Remember your deliverances. This is the key. I'm giving you the key tonight to an overcoming life, a key to face every giant in your life, everything that's come against you. This is not just good advice, this is good Bible. I'm not calling it good preaching, I'm calling it that's the basis in God's Word to overcome the enemy. Father, I thank you for the Word. I'm asking you, Lord, to remind people that have come tonight that they didn't come this night accidentally. You didn't bring us together. You didn't plan this special word tonight. Other than knowing everyone would be seated in these chairs and in the annex and overflow, Lord, we thank you that we serve a God who's faithful. We thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is here tonight to speak to our hearts. Speak to me while I deliver the word. Lord, this message is for me especially, and then for everyone within the sound of my voice. God be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. How quickly we forget. I said, how quickly we forget. How easily we take our miracles and our deliverances in the past for granted. We're like the disciples. Didn't understand or remember the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. One time 5,000, one time 4,000. A few loaves and fishes. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand? Do you not remember the five loaves and the feeding of the 5,000? How many baskets did you take up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000? How many baskets did you take up then? How is it you don't understand? And then he goes on in Mark 8:17. He said, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. Do you not remember? And Jesus is thinking, where were they? Here was a great miracle, and a few loaves and fishes, they're feeding 5,000. Now you would have thought after the first basket, 12 baskets, and they're walking through and they're looking at each other and say, how many fishes, how many loaves? And you would think, this can't be. This is a miracle. You would have thought they would have first knelt down and turned to the Lord and said, you're God. Now they knew that, but they didn't understand. This seemed so natural, this miracle. It just seemed to be happening, but it was not registering. They did not understand the miracle. They will never remember it. They will not understand the meaning because it was not registering with them. You would have thought they would have gone after the second basket and the third basket and the fourth basket. Can you imagine having 10, 12 basket loads and making all these trips? And they're not questioning it. They're not screaming at the top of the voice, glory food, miracle food. You would have thought the people, seeing all of these people watching by, there were no trucks bringing in the bread. I mean, this is truckloads of bread. This is a massive amount of bread because they were all filled. 5,000 men, women, and children, and they're all eating. They're eating meat. How did they refrigerate it? Why isn't it smelling? Out here in the wilderness, out here in the desert, out in this lonely place. Why didn't it resonate on somebody? Why weren't people standing on their feet praising God? The same reason you and I miss the miracles and forget them so quickly and all the deliverances that God has wrought in our lives. From Genesis to Revelation, God literally screams, remember, remember, remember. And it shall be for a sign upon thy head and for frontlets upon thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He said, you're to put it in your mind. You're to stamp it in your memory. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren about this miracle. They're at the Red Sea. It's opened miraculously. They've seen the walls of water. They have seen those walls of water come crushing down and destroy a whole army. They saw chariots with the wheels coming off. Amazing sight. And the Lord's servant said, again, I read it. It's going to be a sign unto your hand and for frontlets before your eyes. Now, the Pharisees took that to an extreme. They didn't understand the spiritual significance, so they just very naturally they put some of these memories in little cards and put them in a box and they strapped them on their arm. You still see them. You go in an airplane and you'll see an Orthodox Jew take the little thong around his arm and the little box and then the little headband with the box, trying to put it in their memory. No, the Lord said this is spiritual. Write it on your mind. Write it on your mind. Keep it at your right hand. That means keep it in memory. Keep it right in front of your eyes at all times. Every time you face a crisis, every time you face the power of the enemy, every time a giant comes against you, go to the box. Go to the memory. Remember all the miracles. Remember everything that God has done for you in the past. No one saw greater miracles of deliverance than the children of Israel. 10 awesome plagues. 10 miracles of deliverance. You see, there are locusts all over the country, and there's not a locust in their area. It's dark, so dark that you could feel it, and you couldn't see the person next to you. And yet there was light where Israel was living. Frogs all over the land, in the houses, in the beds, everywhere, and not a frog in their place. And they forget it. They get into the wilderness, and the first test that they have, they forget all of these miracles. They couldn't remember. They didn't register in them. They get into the wilderness, and what a miracle it is to see a cloud by day and the fire put a warm glow over the whole camp in those dark, cold nights of the wilderness. And nobody looks out of their tent finally and say that's a miracle. This is a part of God's delivering plan for us. They forgot it. They didn't understand it. How do you know? The Bible says our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of his mercies, but they provoked him at the Red Sea. And the Bible said they provoked him at the Red Sea, and it says even at the Red Sea. In other words, God says, can you imagine? They see the waters open and they provoke me just 3 days later because they're thirsty. It doesn't seem to be water. He said, they did not understand my deliverances. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand in the day that he delivered them from their enemy. And how he wrought signs in Egypt in his wonders of Zoan. And turned their rivers into blood. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous, terrible things by the Red Sea. The very thing that Moses warned about happened to Israel. And it's happened to many of God's people today. Take heed to thyself. This is Moses speaking. And keep your soul watchful, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of your life. But teach them to thy sons, and to thy sons' sons, or to your grandchildren. And what he's saying, you have to wear your deliverances. You wear them. You put them on like a cloth, like a coat or a jacket or a blouse. You put this on and you wear it. You wear these memories is what he's trying to say, so that you never forget them. You see, the Holy Ghost asked me one day, how many of the miracles, how many of the good things I've done, how many of the deliverances I've given, how many do you really remember in detail? And I was shocked at trying to remember and going back in my memory. Because I had not been replaying them in my mind. I'd parked them on the backside of my mind. And I said, oh God, I began to stumble. Now I'd say, well, you remember you did this thing, but I didn't remember all the details. I had never gone over it with my children or my grandchildren. I had never repeated them. I didn't keep talking to my wife about them and reminding myself and reminding my family of the miracles. And the deliverances. Why does he give us this command to remember? We're to remember past deliverances to increase our faith in present struggles, to increase our faith in what we're going through right now. David could come against the giant for one reason. He remembered the lion and the bear. He came, he said, in fact, I give you the scripture for that. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David stood before that giant and he just turned on his memory. And he's reliving now. He's about to go against this Philistine. And he said, I remember what happened when that big bear came at me. Then the Spirit of God came on me. And I put a cloth in one hand and a cloth in the other, and I stuck my hand in his mouth, and I ripped his jaw apart. I remember his size. I remember laying him down there, and I remember cutting him off, and I remember keeping his jacket. And I remember a lion. And I remember a lion skin that I gave to my father. Because that lion came out against me. And then the Spirit of God came on me and I tore the lion. And the same God that delivered me from the bear and from the lion is the same God that will deliver me from this giant. You've had a lion. Who was he? Who was she? What was it? Now don't answer it. But in your spirit. In your spirit. Well, where was this giant, or rather this lion, and where was this bear? Where are these former victories that you have seen at the hand of God through the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the time you were sick, so sick you couldn't stand up? Can you remember how close you were to perhaps even dying and the Lord delivered you? How many times were you down financially and you said, this is it, and it wasn't it. Here you are tonight. We face giants on every side. There's a couple grieved over their minister's wife grieving over their son. These are all from our mailing list. They grieve over a son who left his wife and two children and ran off into the gay life. They're devastated because they don't know what to do with the grandchildren. They don't. They're frightened of the impact on the grandchildren that they've taken in. A pastor's wife were grieving over a daughter. They prayed out of a deathbed. Now she's on drugs. She ran off with a married man who became a killer. He's in jail. She's losing control and she's thinking of suicide. And you can imagine the regret in these parents who prayed her out of a deathbed. And now wondering if it would have been better if she had been taken. A young mother with three children, she sits alone in a rented house. Her husband died suddenly with no insurance and no means of support. She's alone and absolutely penniless. Now when we hear this, of course, we help. Oklahoma businessman sued by a so-called Christian partner that he had taken in, and he's intent on stealing the business. He befriended this man, and the man won't even talk to him now, and the courts are siding with the other man. 55-year-old man in Pittsburgh, laid off from a high-paying job. No one wants to hire a 55-year-old, he says. He's got debts, and he's been helping his children. He can't help his children now. And he's so ashamed that he has no work. In the daytime, he goes out and just takes walks because of panic. You see, there's just a few of the giants, and I could go on and on. You saw a man in this pulpit previous in the service who's facing one of the biggest giants that you can imagine. And his question to me is, Brother David, I still have questions. Why? Because a great revival ahead and in the past. And I'm a preacher of healing, and I don't understand. Folks, there are many things we don't understand. We will not understand till we get home. We will not understand. I told him, brother, I can't give you an answer. There's nobody in America can give you an answer. Only the Holy Spirit. I believe in healing. I believe God can absolutely heal this man that we prayed for tonight. And I believe God has a way out of every one of these situations that I've named you here. I believe that with everything in me. But you see, it's a matter of maintaining faith. Maintaining confidence that God will do what is right. Not by what we think, but what He knows. Now, these are just a few of the giants. But you see, you can't face situations like this until you go back in your life. And every one of these are Christians. These are all believers. These are all who know the Holy Spirit and walk in spirit and truth. And though I can't explain it, I know one thing, that there's no way to face these kind of giants until you remember the faithfulness of God. You have to go back to the time He saved you. You have to go back to remembering what you were like until the grace of God came. You have to remember that you were headed for hell. And the greatest miracle of all, more than anything I could name here, was the day Jesus saved you from your sin. You remember those nights when you even thought there was no hope, and some of you thought suicide was the only way out? Can you remember the dark, lonely nights when sin burdened you down, guilt and despair? Do you remember? God delivered you from the lion, the roaring lion. He delivered you from that, and He delivered you from the bear of human flesh. He delivered you from all of those things. You have to go back to the very beginning where this started with you and Jesus. Then the same Jesus can break the power of sin. That same Christ can give you victory over your present giant. Amen. How many prayers has He answered you in the past? Or have you forgotten? There's a way God says that we come against these things. And the most important thing of all, you can't face a giant until you begin to see and understand the majesty and the glory of God. Astronaut Charlie Duke spoke in this church a number of years ago to the singles downstairs. The astronaut, when they were headed for the moon, he said there was a telling moment, an awesome, overwhelming moment, when they were way out in space and they turned the craft, turned and saw the world, the earth, hanging in space, hanging there. They couldn't describe the impact on them as they looking at this world hurling through space, nothing holding it but God, who spoke a word. God who spoke a word. This is how God helped Joseph face, or Job face his giant. He said, Job, I'm going to open your eyes and I'm going to show you something about who I am. And if you read the book of Job, He simply gave him a revelation of His majesty and His greatness and His glory to make him show that his problem, no matter how big he thinks it is in the eyes of God, He who counts every star, who knows them by name, He named every star. And they used to think there were 100 million stars. Now they say there are over billions of stars and they'll never be counted. And God knows every name, the majesty. And He tells Job, He said, Job, the foundations of the earth, to what is the earth fastened to? Who holds it in space? Who shut up the sea? Who keeps the sea from overflowing the land? He said, go to the seashore. Why aren't you drowning? Why is it the tide goes so far and backs away? Who put the boundaries between the sea and the earth? He said, where is the spring from which the oceans flow. Do you ever wonder where that water came from? And he said, where's the spring? Who's feeding it? Where's it coming from? How is the light parted from day to night? Who divides the wind and blows it or scatters it? How was the rain born? Who set up the forces of nature in place? Can man produce lightning, thunder, clouds, rain? Who put wildness in some animals and tameness in the others? He goes on and on until Job is overwhelmed. He says, oh my God! Oh God! I didn't know all this about you. And he looks at his problem and said, I've been foolish. I've had my eyes on my pain. I've had my eyes in the wrong place. And the only hope we have, there are things I don't understand. And I just have to look up and say, oh God, I'm twirling through space right now. You're holding me by something called gravity. We'd all be spinning out in space somewhere in the cosmos because we're going round and around. Why don't we spin away and melt in the cosmos? Because God spoke a word. And all God has to do for this brother tonight is speak a word. All he has to do for your problem is speak a word. Job says, now I know you can do everything. God said, Job, it's about time. We're to remember past deliverance as a weapon against our fears. Moses is saying, you're going to face many great enemies, more powerful than yourself, he said. You're going to wonder how you can ever get a victory against these odds. But I'm asking you to remember the greatness of our God that's delivered us in the past. You've got to see God in His majesty and then claim that power for yourself. Moses said, He has done all these things for you. Listen to what the scripture says. He is thy praise, and He is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. David said, what nation on earth is like unto your people to do for you great things and terrible before thy people which you have redeemed? And God said to Malachi, I'm the Lord, I don't change. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The dying words of Moses, be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, it is he that doth go with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Listen to Paul the Apostle, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saint, and what is exceeding greatness and the power to us, word, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Hallelujah. Here's some things that I remember. I'm not going to preach much longer, but here's some things that I remember. First of all, I remember, one of the things I remember is Lot's wife. Because the Lord said, remember her. He said, this is what happens when you won't trust me. Here's what happens. You harden. We remember the Lord's death here at least 52 times a year in the communion table. We remember that. He said, do this in what? In remembrance of me. We do that. Because the Lord knows that we're so forgetful. So 52 times a year in this church, every week, we serve communion. And after all these years since this church has been founded, we never get weary. It's not just something we do by rote. I don't know about you, but it always blesses my soul. It always draws me closer and reminds me of who Christ is and what He's done. I remember the day in Houston, Texas, when my daughter Debbie was curled up in the hospital bed like a child, looked like a fetus, or an unborn child, and knees up to her chin. She'd had cancer, and then chemotherapy ate a hole in her stomach. And I had to walk out. I couldn't handle it. I remember that. And when I look at Debbie now, beautiful mother, it's been years and years ago, but I never forget that day. And I remember how Jesus touched and gave her life all these years. And Bonnie, I remember five times doctors coming out of an operating room, sorry, Reverend, it was malignant. I remember when my 15, 16-year-old son, Gary, came into the house one day, went to his room and threw his Bible down and said, I don't believe in God anymore. I can't see him. I've lost my faith. Of course, you've heard him preach. I remember a telephone call one day and said, Pastor, you come quickly and gave me the route. Your son's been in a head-on collision. Greg, my other son. And to rush through it and crying, oh, God, no, please. And to look at that car smashed to pieces, and he wasn't in it. I said, oh, God, I thought he's in the hospital. And I'm standing there just heartbroken and a hand on my shoulder and says, hi, Dad. I remember the day when this church was packed out down on 44th Street in one of the most dilapidated theaters in New York. Niederlander Theater. It's still a mess. God for the time we had it. But I remember walking into this place and they were getting ready for a big show. They spent $8 million for one of the most vile shows that Broadway would ever to produce. Spent the whole basement here. It was full of mechanics. It was going to be state-of-the-art. Broadway state-of-the-art. Everything was going to be pulled by magnets from underneath the floor. Incredible lighting. Everything was going to be different. This is going to be the greatest, longest running show on Broadway. And I remember walking in here looking at it, and the Lord said, this is my house. This is God's house. Oh, I could go on and on. Because you see, now I keep remembering. And now when I face a hard time, when I face a test that seems greater than anything I've ever known in the past, you can look at the pastors when the shirt going, you can see them sitting here. And you know, we sit there, hands raised, and worship. There's nothing wrong. They don't have any problems. They don't face any giants. Do you have half an hour? Sit with any of them. And you'll hear about suffering. You'll hear about pain. You'll hear about agony, waiting on God until the heavens break through. We all face it. Nobody's immune. And God knows what you're going through. And God knew what you needed tonight. He's asking you to look back at all that he's done. Remember it. Bring it out in detail. Write it out in your mind, even this night. And then look up. Look, you know, if you don't have a car, rent one. And drive out in New Jersey, way out. A dark road on a dark on a bright night with the moonshine. And look up and just look at the stars. I've done that so many times. The first year I was here, I went out almost every week. On Mondays, we would go out of the city because we've been living in the country and we're adjusting to it. We'd go out there. And many times alone, I would go out there and walk. I know a road along a fence, a rail fence, and just look up at the majesty of God. And New York seemed so small, and all my problems start melding. It looked like ants, not giants. Look up some of these days. You can't do it in New York. All you'll see is the Empire State Building here. Serve a good God. We serve a mighty God who cares. Put a sun out there and then made sure it didn't burn me up. Isn't that amazing? You think of all of the glory and the majesty of God. God's speaking to somebody here tonight, and I don't know who, probably many, trying to get a word to you, saying, get your eyes off of your problem. Get your eyes off of what you're going through now, and remember His faithfulness, and say, God, show me who You are, Your greatness, Your majesty. Will you stand? And folks, I said that in 35 minutes. Just in the reading, I'm telling you that we've got time to seek the Lord here. We've got time to call on the name of the Lord and give Him thanks. Now, I want to address those in the annex and those here in the main auditorium. I want to address those tonight that say, Pastor Dave, I needed to hear this tonight because I am facing in my life. Folks, pastors, you know something, and elders, and when you think of what God's been saying to us in the past, what, a month or so? I'm thinking of all the messages I've brought and these men have brought and the guests that have brought, all on the same subject. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's ahead. I have no idea what's ahead, but God knows, and He's always ahead of the curve. He's always ahead of the problem, and He always prepares His people. And He's preparing us to have faith and confidence and not to fear anything. Our God is bigger than all the terrorists in the world. He's bigger than every outbreak of violence in this city. And wouldn't you think we'd have the sense enough to believe that if He can keep all the stars in orbit, if He can do all of these great and mighty things, don't you think He knows how to take care of us? Don't you think He knows what to do about your problem now? Father, I'm praying for those tonight that have come heavy burden to this service. And we come, Lord, with the love of pastors and the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we, His under-shepherds, Lord, who love the love of Jesus because You flow in and through us to them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would remind us all of Your faithfulness. And You spoke an encouraged word to us tonight to let go and let God. Let go and just let God. Let God come in His glory and His majesty. Lord, God of all the earth and stars and moon and galaxies, thank You for living in us. Thank You for caring for us. Oh, precious burden bearer, lift the burdens of Your people tonight. Lift their burdens and lift the fears. Even those, Lord, are burdened with their sin. Lord, some who look back and say, I'm such a failure. I can't seem to win victory. I'm still failing, God. I still have eyes that rove. I still have thoughts that plague me. I still get so depressed. I get so down on myself. I feel such a failure. Oh, God, we're not to look back to those things. We're only to look back to the good things You've done for us and the miracles. You said, forgetting those things that are past, the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of the devil that have cast upon us. We forget those things and we press on in faith now in Jesus' name because You're our victor. Hallelujah. Let me speak in the Spirit for just one moment. I know I'm trying to prolong this, but please give me that time now. I believe what I was praying, and I was praying in the Spirit. There's probably a number of you here tonight, and I speak as a pastor. This past week, you've been replaying a lot of things in your life. You're looking back at your failures. You're looking back at some of the craziest, foolish, unthinkable things that you may have done and said, and how even have done those as a believer. And the devil would like you to replay that and bring you down and bring your faith down. Make you feel like a total failure. That's a horrible lie from the pits of the bottomless hell. That's not God. Folks, you've got to get out of that. You've got to get out of it tonight. Don't look back at that. stand up in the name of Jesus and say, that's under the blood. That's the past, and it's forgiven, it's gone. Some of you are thinking, I thought I was making progress, but I stand here tonight. I've been a failure. I displeased God. And been such a horrible husband or wife, or this and that. Oh, it's endless. It'll kill you and destroy your faith. Oh, come on, folks, out of it tonight and say, Jesus, I'm looking back at the miracles. I'm looking back at the deliverance, and that's all. And I'm going to look on to you. Hallelujah. I'm opening these altars now. In the annex, you can get out. If God speaks to you, you can get out of your seat and come. Go to the lobby and they'll show you how to get down. If this message is for you and you have to come here and confess something to the Lord of unbelief or fear or doubt. You see, if you doubt him, he said, don't expect me to move. I can't move in that kind of atmosphere. Up in the balcony, you go to the stairs on either side, and you come down. While they sing, open your heart. If you're not saved, if you've been backslidden, if you're running from God, follow these that are coming. You'll get your touch. You'll get your miracle tonight if you'll come by faith. My soul, wait only on God. My expectation is only from Him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. God is my salvation and glory. He's the rock of my strength. He's my refuge. My refuge is in God. Been a shelter to me, a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart was overwhelmed, and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher. Lord, I pray for those that are burdened down by their past. They don't remember the miracles, they remember only the bad, only the failure. The man, the woman, the child, the young person that comes to you with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, you'll not turn away. You will reach out and embrace. Those are lies. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Let them go, because I love you. And I'll not let you go. I don't see what you're seeing. I'm not looking at what you're looking at. I'm not looking at your sins now. I'm not looking at your failure. You have been redeemed. You've been set free. There's no condemnation to them now that are in Christ. No condemnation. Lord, I know that even while I'm speaking, while I'm praying, you're delivering some. You're delivering some, Lord, from this kind of bondage. And the fear and the unbelief, it seems to be so natural when we get in problems and troubles. Oh, Jesus, you're greater than all our sins. You're greater than all our cares. Will you pray this with me now? Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are God. You promised to be God to me, and I'll be your God with all the greatness and all the glory that He is. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And help me to remember my sins are cast into a sea, never to be remembered against me. I believe that. I receive that. Thank you, Jesus, that I am redeemed. And you take my burdens now. I want to walk out of here free. Without my burdens, I yield and give them to you. Jesus Christ, my burden bearer, I give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Raise hands, everybody, and praise Him. Lord, we glorify you.